الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه والتابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are once again welcome onto this program of ours, Islam and Realities of Life. The program reaching you through this important medium, the NTA. The previous episode talked about, if you've been watching the program, the quintuple questionnaire, talking about who, why, how. And then after this, then where, and then to where. Now, today, inshallah, the program is going to look at some a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By a hadith, it's a plural form of hadith. That is the sayings or the sunnah and the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about what has been taking place. And today we are going to talk about the concept of worship. We said something about it previously, but before that, it is part of worship to know the right of Allah. What is right? It is an important reality that we talk about human rights, even animal rights, even the rights of the environment. Things have rights, but we seem to gloss over the rights of the right bestower himself, Azza wa Jal. If we can be talking about human right, or droit de l'homme in the French language, what about the right of Allah himself? But before then, what is right itself? According to the Inkatha dictionaries, the word right refers to a justified claim on something. Justified claim on something. That is the right, you have justification to make a claim on something. The car you bought becomes legally owned by you. So we say it is your right to say it is your own, because you have a justified claim on that very car. Similarly, your house, you have a justified claim on your house, like this. Now, if I can say it is my human right, it is my right as a Nigerian to be educated, to be sheltered, to be properly taken care of health-wise, these are my rights, inalienable rights, then what about the right of Allah? It's an important reality. At times, we seem to de-emphasize. In a hadith of Mu'adh in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Iman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ya Mu'adh, do you know what are Allah's right on his creatures? You see? And the right of the creatures on Allah. And Mu'adh said, Allah and his messenger know best. In other words, I don't know. So now, the important area to be given attention is Allah's right on his creatures and vice versa. Now we have to ask ourselves, what are the rights of Allah? But the hadith has explained, the right of Allah is to worship Allah without assigning any partner unto Allah. To worship Allah without associating a partner with Allah. You should not set up a rival against Allah. That is the right of Allah. Allah has rights, and the rights are not negotiable. They are never, never negotiable. Therefore, the right of Allah is to worship Him, because He has created all of us for the purpose of creation, as we keep on saying, we keep on quoting Quran chapter 1, chapter 51, verses 56, 57, and 58. And I have not created the jinn and mankind, but for them to worship me. Now, worshipping Allah entails three things. Worship Him on Tawheed. Unify Him. For example, you believe He is the source of your living. You used not to be there and now you are here. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. In Surah Al-Dahr, from verses 1 to 2. Allah said, هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. A period did come upon a man when he was nothing to be mentioned. That is a period of time past when a man was nothing of mention. Then Allah said, "Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin." We created man from a drop of sperm that is mixed naftali, so as to try him. Faj'alnahu sami'an basira. We created him having the power of hearing and power of seeing. So now, the source owner, I mean the sole owner of this life is Allah, as the ayah explained. Similarly, in Surah An-Nahl, Allah said, Allahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a wa ja'ala lakum as-sam'a wal absara wal afida la'allakum tashkurun. That is to say, Allah brought you out of the wombs of your mothers, knowing nothing, but He placed in you the power of hearing, the power of seeing, and the power of thinking, so that you may thank Him. So, the Almighty that has given you this has the right to be preserved, to be maintained, and to be treated well and accordingly. So that is the meaning of the right of Allah. In this life, you have a lot of chatters talking about human rights. Maybe you know the Magna Carta of England, of King George, I think, or King John, who drew some articles, some papers, some document concerning the rights of people in England, Magna Carta, in 13th century. Similarly, you have the Universal Declaration for Human Rights of the United Nations, 1948, December. Similarly, the French papers. You have a lot of things like this, talking about human rights. The American Charter as well. Now, what remains to be looked at, what are the rights of Allah? The right is to worship Him. And worship, as we have explained, when we talk of worship, worship means, according to Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, anything you utter, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you eat, the way you sleep, all these things should be guided by the spirit of worship. How do you worship Allah? The way I eat should be guided by the teachings of Islam. The way I lie down should be guided by the teachings of Islam. Like this. This is a worship. So, like I was saying, the issue of Tawheed is number one. And Tawheed, an important thing to be said here is, a lot of people only know what is called Rububiyyah, but the Uluhiyyah is missing on them. Of course, the classification of Tawheed into Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Al-Asma wa Sifat cannot be said to have their roots deeply entrenched in the Quran or in the Sunnah, clearly. But looking at the teachings, the meanings, you would definitely jump to the conclusion, yes, they have their roots there. Because Rububiyyah is from Rabb. Rabb, you say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So if you will even argue, there is no Rububiyyah, but there is Rabb. And Rububiyyah means the unity of Allah by the virtue of His actions and His creation. Who created the heaven, the earth, the Goshen rivers, the power of hearing, the power of seeing, the ability to walk, the ability to talk, the ability to touch. These things nobody claims responsibility for making them, but only Allah. So that is Ar-Rububiyyah. It's from Ar-Rab. Alright? And Rububiyyah, according to ulama, is to unify Allah by three things. Ifradullah bil-khalq, wal-mulk, wa-tadbir. Ifradullah bil-khalq, wal-mulk, wa-tadbir. Unify Allah by the virtue of His creation, by the virtue of His control, and by the virtue of His power and dominion. This is Rububiyyah. It's an important reality for somebody to know this. You know? So should somebody say He also creates, then you accept Him to be a kafir. The example is there in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, when Allah says, a kafir says, أنا أخي أميت. إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت. قال أنا أخي أميت. قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فات بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر. والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. The people who claim there is a king who claimed to also, he has the power to bring the sun from the east. Alright? He told Prophet Ibrahim that he too can give life, can also take life. But he said to him, in that case, my Lord brings sun from the east. Bring your own sun from the what? From the ways. This tells you clearly of what this kafir has done, trying to claim Rububiyyah, trying to make some encroachment into the areas not belonging to him. Therefore, the Prophet of Allah gave him conscience and a timely answer. Fa'ati biha min al-maghrib. Produce, bring, cause your own son to emanate, to come out from the west, فبويت الذي كفر. And he was dumbfounded. He couldn't make any headway. So that's the example of Allah's right concerning Rububiyyah. That is why, under Rububiyyah, a gynecologist can tell you, for example, the sex of a yet-to-be-born baby. Courtesy of today's science and technology, the sex of the babe can be determined. But does that prove the gynecologist or the medical guru knows the unseen? We are saying only Allah knows the ghaib. What is ghaib? Ghaib means the unseen. But now, if Allah is the only knower of unseen, and it's true, what about gynecologists who can tell you the sex of a babe in the womb of the mother? I say, please take it easy, brother. Because the Quran says, Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a. In Surah Al-Luqman, the last verse, Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a, wa yunazzil al-ghayth, wa ya'alamu ma. Look at it, that's the point. Wa ya'alamu ma fil arham. Wa ma tadri nafsun madha taksibu ghada. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. The point is وَيَعْلَمُ مَا not وَيَعْلَمُ مَنْ. So the doctor, the medical practitioner, the gynecologist only knows man, not ma. to tell you, nobody can claim this kind of knowledge but Allah. All right, if the gynecologist can determine the sex of the babe by saying it's going to be male or female, ask him, how long is this babe going to spend before he dies? Please, doctor, tell me. This babe you have told, you told us his own sex. Whom is he going to marry in the later day of his life? Who's going to be his wife? Or who's going to be her husband if it is a female? What kind of profession is he going to do? Is he going to be an imam, for example? A journalist, for example? A media executive? A gynecologist like you? Please tell us, doctor. Tell us. In that case, he cannot. So, you can see the right of Allah as an important reality in life becomes clearly understood, clearly appreciated, and clearly comprehended. You see, the doctor only tells you the sex of the baby. And even in that case, it's not necessarily going to be like that. He can forecast and he may find it wrong finally. But Allah knows when the drop was there in the womb, when it grew up, the very time is going to be put to bed, the circumstances leading to that, and what he's going to do, what he's going to eat, the amount of muscle to put before he dies, Allahu Akbar. How many times he's going to the latrine, Allah knows. How many times he's going to take oxygen and give out carbon dioxide, all these things have been determined. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. So that is the right of Allah concerning his rububiyyah, the power to bring the rainfall. Who brings the rain? Who causes the animal the plant to germinate, to grow up? Who does this? That is Allah. So in the hadith I have quoted of Mu'adh, the right of Allah upon his creators, they shall worship him without setting up a rival against him. Because doing shirk is a catastrophe. It is a spiritual blunder. Allah says in Quran 4, verse, for example, 116. And Quran 4, verse 48. In Quran 4, 48, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. 116, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. There are many Quranic verses talking against this. He who does shirk has really committed a major sin. Now, that's the right of Allah concerning rububiyyah. Concerning uluhiyyah is to worship him, Allah Azza wa Jal, without setting up a rival. You see, Allahu Akbar, not anybody else Akbar. You say, La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. That is the meaning. But a lot of people today tend to misunderstand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, even in translation. Some do say, La ilaha illallah, no any king but Allah. But that is wrong. There are many kings. You should say, La ilaha illallah, no deity worthy of being worshipped but Allah. Alright? Only Allah has the right, has the qualification, has the property, has the credentials, if you like it, of being worshipped. But not any other person. It is only Allah. So that is al-rububiyyah, al-uluhiyyah. I will go back, inshallah, to say a few words concerning rububiyyah before drawing curtain on this, before moving further. So it is the right of Allah that should be worshipped. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَإِذَا دَعَوْتَ فَدْعُوا اللَّهِ وَإِذَا عَبَدْتَ فَعَبُدِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا تَوَكَّلْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If you want to put your trust The trust should be on Allah exclusively. If you want to seek for succor, it is from Allah exclusively the succor comes. If you want to ask, you want to beg, beg Allah. Let me use the very word beg Allah. Ask Him. For example, you cannot say, oh son, help me to accomplish my studies. Or you go to the grave of somebody in the name of a wali or whatever, for example. That is wrong. You are to fall down. You don't call anybody's name. Call Allah's name. These are rights of Allah. They are His right. He should be worshipped exclusively without associating any partner with Him, Azza wa Jal. That is Uluhiyya. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who call others than Allah is just like going to the river, extending your hand to the river, please give me water. كَبَاسَتِ كَفَيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُغَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِ. Extending your hand to the river, hey river, give me water. It can't give you, because it is the right of Allah that He should be worshipped exclusively. And worship has three components, has three necessary ingredients. Number one, there should be a reason for the worship. For example, what is the reason for going for Hajj? Are we just going for Hajj just because of fashion? We want it? No. It is because Allah says, do it. In Quran 2, 196-97, the ayahs are there. Allah says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. It is Allah's command. Fulfill Hajj and Umrah, lisa Hajj for the sake of Allah. That is Quran chapter 2, verse 196. It also says, الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Quran 2, 197. There are many instances like this. Similarly, in Quran 22, Allah says what? وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ أَتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Make declaration, make the proclamation concerning Hajj, and people will be coming, will be rushing to tell you. That is condition number one. Salat that we do just because there are commands. Ahem. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And the Prophet said, as in Bukhari, the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ وَأَتُوصَلِّي. Pray the way you have seen me praying. These are many instances telling you before an ibadah is undertaken, it is embarked upon. There has to be a prior reason for that. That is condition number one. Number two, it has to be carried out according to the teaching of the Sunnah. It has to be sunnatically informed, sunnatically based, not bid'atically based. And number three, we do it for the purpose of driving Allah's pleasure. Brothers and sisters, this is our program, Islam and Realities of Life. We have started talking about the rights of Allah first and foremost. Because we keep on talking human right. What about Allah's right? Is it good to be talking about human right, forgetting Allah's right? If Allah's rights are being preserved, wallahi, we'll not be seeing zina being committed, stealing being committed, armed robbery, okay? Plundering public resources in the name of politics, telling lies and the right. So the earlier we recognize Allah's rights, the better it's going to be. And that is the reality. It's the realistic reality, inshallah, that is going to be the end of today's episode, inshallah. Until we meet next time, same station, on behalf of all the brothers that have made the program a reality, the producers, our camera, a brother with us here, I, the presenter, saying, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.